Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm Kim Arellano on this fine day. I want to welcome everybody who's listening to the show and thank you for coming on. We have a great show lined up for today, and we're going to be talking about resilience circles. And we're going to have a guest on to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But before we get there, we of course want to thank Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation and a kind, compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise, and that's Pearson Law Firm. And of course, Michelle's our special guest once a month, and she did a show last month, and she'll be doing a show here in March. I want to also welcome our producer, Mike. Welcome.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
So
filling in today.
Yeah, for Eric, yes.
Doing okay.
I haven't seen Eric in a couple of weeks, and I said, hey, we got somebody different.
You have to wait one more week.
One more week to see our friend Eric. Well, you are just as wonderful coming in, so we're very thankful to have
you. It's always good for me to get it during the day so I can get a reality check to see what really happens here.
Because
I'm kind of a night and weekend guy, and it's a totally different place.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is the energy different?
Much different. Yeah.
Yeah. So which is better?
Let's just say I get more done when there's less folks around.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
So you kind of have that personality that kind of likes to have your domain defined and it's yours and...
Not so much, but I'm an organized, so the work I line out my work, and then I just check it off. But sometimes when you're in here during the day, there are distractions and outside influences that throw you off a little bit.
Totally understand. Yeah. I get my best work done between 5 and 7 a.m.
Absolutely.
It's the same kind of thing.
Yep.
It's before the children get up. or as someone told me, he says, actually, Kim, that's before your ego wakes up. Between 5 and 7 in the morning. I says, you know, that's really accurate.
Yeah.
really accurate. Once my ego wakes up.
But kids will bring us down to earth, won't they?
Yeah, that usually corresponds with the whole ego thing is when the kids wake up. So it's very exciting. Also want to let folks know that I have a class coming up that I'm going to be teaching with my business, Workforce Evolution and Walk the Talk for Success. It's going to be on March 29th in Issaquah at 5:30. It's the first of a 10-part series, and I'm offering the first part no charge. And we're going to be covering this concept called suspension of attention or hovering attention. And really, it's a way to get grounded and connected with your environment so that you can start to see your behavior patterns that might get in the way of your success. So if you're interested in learning more about suspension of attention and you want to come to that class or just hang out with me for a couple of hours, see what I'm all about when I'm not on the radio, you can email information at info@workforceevolution.com. And again, that's info@workforceevolution.com. And of course, we'll have that information and more on our Facebook page and our website at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. So without any further ado, I'd love to welcome our guest today. His name is Rabbi Olivier Ben-Chaim. I didn't even have to practice that. I was very proud of myself that I got that correctly. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to have you, of course. We're very lucky that we get some incredible people that come on the show. I'm just honored and humbled every time we get a great guest on. But you and I have had a conversation about the topic that we're talking about, and I'm just so impressed with where we're going to go today. I know it's going to be great. But you came to my attention, a friend of mine and I were having kind of a philosophical conversation about sustainability and about how we as an individual help our society and help our fellow man to get out of this disastrous situation that we find ourselves in right now, but also keep an eye on the good. You know, so there's a lot of bad things going on, but there's a lot of really good things going on. So how do you bring good people and good ideas together to solve some pretty critical problems? And she says, you know, resilient circles. And I said, what? And she says, oh, I can't even explain it. You have to talk to Rabbi Olivier. And so she got me in touch with you and I invited you to come on the show. So resilience circles, what are resilience circles?
What are resilience circles? It's a fabulous idea, first of all. It's an idea that for me really specifically comes from a certain awareness that we are the ones that are in charge, really, of solving, like you said, the mess we find ourselves in our days and in this age, that we can no longer really wait for anybody else out there, whether our elected officials or whomever, to come and with whatever magic wand we thought they could have or we could give them, would be able to heal the society we live in. And it is an awakening that that is never going to come from outside of ourselves. It only can come from within ourselves and within the structure that we can build around us as communities to support one another. It is with that, like you can hear from what I'm saying, it's really a shift in consciousness. It's a shift in awareness. It's a rediscovering of what true wealth is. And true wealth is not so much what you can see or not in your bank account, but it's the wealth of the people that surround you. And resilience circles are a community that is created around the idea of discovering the wealth in each other and supporting each other specifically through these difficult economic times, but really creating a different vision for community and for support for each other.
I can imagine on an even bigger level, you find the wealth in yourself that you didn't even know that you had.
Exactly. The wealth in yourself is reflected in the eyes of those you're going to work with, you're going to lean on, because they're going to lean on you as you're leaning on them. It's really, it's a beautiful shift in the way, in our perspective on what society can be, what our lives can be within that kind of society. Somebody once said to me, well, it sounds like what we used to do, you know, before. Obviously, it was not too young a person who told me that. and I don't know. But if it is, then it's about rediscovering the true values that connect us, you know, at the heart space, in the heart level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a national program. Is it a formal program? Is it? I help me understand a little bit of the structure and kind of where this came from.
Right. So the structure itself it's a national organization. I don't remember offhand right now where the headquarters are, if there are any headquarters. Because since it's a community-based organization, it's in different cities, different places all over the nation. And I was approached by a dear friend of mine, Richard Hodgen, who had been connected to social action, and is one of those people who is an incredible activist and dedicated to changing our society. And he approached me and talked to me about this resilience circles. And the way it came about and came through him was with a set of tools. This organization provides local, it could be your neighborhood, you know, a few neighbors that get together. It could be your religious community like it is for Bet Aleph. It could be any kind of group that decides to get together. It doesn't need to be a big group either. They actually recommend 10 to 15 people, maybe 20 at most, to create those circles. And they literally coach you in and give you the tools to create that little community that is going to be there to support each other. So that organization, that umbrella organization, is basically an educational arm to help you create what you need to create within your own group and within the own specific of where you are, where you live, and what you need. But it's an incredible and it's an incredible organization. There's video support. They have a ton of things on YouTube and other places that they link you to. There's a lot of work that is actually already going on. It's in a lot of ways they are already tapping into and connecting different sources. And they package it together for you to be able to create that. So it's an organization that is not there, and I want to make sure that I say that is not there to impose upon you what they would like to see your specific resilience circles look like. Mm-hmm. They give you the tools and they say, you know, we're here to support. If, you know, there's a phone number to call, they do video conferencing to teach, to coach people how to create the first meetings. And to deliver the information, the education part. And they encourage you, but they are not imposing on you their vision or their idea, because all our groups around the nations are probably very different. I mean, even here in Seattle, from one neighborhood to another, from one religious community or spiritual community to another, the needs would be different.
Right. I put information on Resilient Circles for our listeners out there. It is on the Walk the Talk with Kim Facebook page. I did put a link there. So if you're interested in setting up your own Resilient Circle or finding if there's one around, although there aren't that many around here now, they're just starting to kind of form.
Yes.
But you can get more information and certainly check out what it's about and see if it makes sense for your community.
Correct.
By going to Walk the Talk with Kim on the Facebook page there. So how did you get involved then? How did you hear? Well, you said a friend told you about it, but what drew you? What were you looking for that this became the answer for you?
For me, it becomes part of a redefining of what spiritual community is about. As a rabbi, I'm the leader of a Jewish spiritual community here in Seattle. Actually, we meet in Bellevue. But I'm trying to let this community and the people in it evolve to become something maybe bigger than ourselves. I don't know how you would say that. But for me, there is different components of being a spiritual community. And one of them is that community itself, I think, is one of the answers to the next stage of our evolution. One of the teachers that I like to read when I don't read rabbis or Jewish things, mm-hmm. Is Thich Nhat Hanh, and he has a quote that I just really love, which says that, I'm going to paraphrase it and put it in the context that I understand. Obviously, he wouldn't say it like that, but something like, the next Messiah is community. You know, the idea that there is not going to be a one individual coming to save us, but that all of us together are Messiah, are that force that is going to move us into a different level of consciousness, a different approach, a different vision of the world. So, you know, another way of putting it is that we are the ones we've been waiting for. And for my community, I think it's critical to begin the process of, you come for spirituality and you feel nourished and healed when you come to our services and the classes and the workshops that we do. But there's something else that is happening as you coalesce as a community. And how do we move beyond just the spiritual message and walk, well, I'm going to use a phrase you know, and walk our talk in the world? How do we then manifest those precepts, those teachings of compassion, of love, of understanding, love your neighbor like yourself, be present for each other? How do we manifest those into our world? I mean, it's beautiful to listen to them and to nod our head and say, yes, mm-hmm. This is true, this is real, I resonate with those teachings. The next step is, okay, now let's put them into action. And I try to move our community into this direction of, let's create a community that embodies those teachings. Mm-hmm. So when this Resilient Circles idea came into my lap, I thought, what a perfect vehicle to drive that idea, to drive that new consciousness into the community.
Yeah, wonderful, beautiful. And I love that statement that we're the next Messiah. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Rabbi Olivier about his experience now that he's done this and what his thoughts are and best practices are for others. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
For once unafraid, I can go where life leads me. Somehow I know I'll be strong.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson. And with my wife, Michelle, we're local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been harmed or wronged in our communities. If you have a personal injury from a car crash or a property hazard, an industrial injury, a defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, the Pearson Law Firm can help you anywhere, anytime. Contact us today for a free case evaluation. at 1-800-423-8473. That number again is 1-800-423-8473. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Accelerated weight loss, and everyone's a winner. You too can lose up to 30 pounds in 30 days. It's about science, not celebrities. No HCG, just award-winning science-based nutrition and natural botanicals. Join 10,000 satisfied clients. Save $100 with the listener appreciation discount for Walk the Talk with Kim listeners who enroll through February 29th. For information, contact myweightlosstowellness@gmail.com and mention Walk the Talk with Kim.
Do you wish you could train your brain to be more creative? ThinkShop can help. For 16 years, ThinkShop has trained individuals at Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, and nonprofits. Learn our proven process to think creatively and make great ideas happen. Our trainings are offered in person and online. Learn more at thinkshop.com.
Remember the pink tow truck? It was a Seattle icon. But did you know the mastermind behind the marketing was also one of Seattle's successful entrepreneurs? Learn life lessons from Ed Lincoln by reading his new autobiography, Life Through the Rearview Mirror. Available at area bookstores and online, go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and click on the link.
For the people, by the people. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
We're back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim and my very special guest, Rabbi Olivier Ben-Haim. And he is with the Bet Aleph Meditative Synagogue, which is a Jewish synagogue here in the area. And I haven't had much exposure. I've had a little bit of exposure to the Jewish faith. Mm-hmm. It seemed to me what resonated with me, what I appreciated, was the encouragement of open dialogue, even if it was painful.
Sure. Yes.
And I can appreciate that, because not that I'm naming any other religions, but there are those religions that are more of these are the rules and let's learn how to live within the rules.
Right.
And I got kind of this feeling that there are rules, and but you are free and welcome to argue about them. That does not change the fact that they're rules. But let's talk about why.
I think arguing is at the core of Judaism.
Yeah.
It is.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I kind of like it.
We have 2,000 years worth of rabbis and scholars arguing on thousands and thousands of pages of teachings. And all of our teachers and teachings, all the rabbis over this last 2,000 years have literally argued on those pages, and we study their arguments, and then we argue amongst ourselves about their arguments to try to find, ultimately the truth that is our unique individual truth. And we don't try to impose upon anybody a truth within Judaism, and hopefully without.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's interesting, in some of the classes that I teach in business, we focus on the dialogue or dialectic as opposed to debate. Mm. And so debate is typically, this is what I believe and I am right, and so I'm going to try to convince you with your own beliefs why I'm right. And this has a tendency, as we can see in our political infrastructure today and lots of different ways, it does not actually bring people together. Debates do not. They're not designed to.
Right.
They are pushing people apart and setting boundaries.
Right.
Dialogue is more, or what we call a dialectic, in which is probably very familiar to you, but to, us Western, Judeo-Christian or Christian religions, it's kind of more of that Greek philosophy perspective of seek first to understand, then to be understood. And that's kind of more of the dialectic function. So do you see that as part of the resilience circles, as we kind of round back here to our conversations, that there is this idea of let's look at our situation and try and understand each other's perspectives first and then try and solve it? Or do you think that these resilience circles are kind of defined more as, let's discuss the problem and hear what each other thinks about it. Kind of get the difference there.
One of the key items in or the key perspectives that the resilience circles really help you hone on is we have to listen to each other. A big part of the there are 6, 7, 8 sessions that are kind of the introductory sessions where a lot of the education part takes place. The resilience circles are really based on it's a 3-legged stool. One is education, so there's a lot of education.
Is that education like on how to have the conversation?
It's mostly education on what is actually our economy. Because what they've found, the people who are creating those resilience circles, that we are actually not educated, or not much educated beyond what we see on TV, about what our economy really is and what it is doing and how it functions at all. Just recently, a few weeks ago, I invited a group of speakers to come and teach us about money and how money works, how money is created, where does it go after you put it in your bank account. And
you're assuming that there's actually money going into the account, that it's actual a thing, because it's not, right? It's still paper going into paper.
Well, actually, even paper is disappearing. Now it's really digital numbers that are appearing and disappearing. So it was an all-day workshop that really enlightened a lot of us, shocked a lot of us, angered many. You know, it's a powerful education. I think we owe it to ourselves to be educated, to be knowledgeable citizens. You know, if we really want to make a change, first thing is let's learn about what is. Let's learn about the state of what is. Mm-hmm. Let's see what's truly going on. Let's move beyond what we are being fed through TV and the other corporate media. And let's truly look as informed citizens, as active citizens, at the truth of the society we live in, instead of just believing in what we've been told or, you know, the messages we keep hearing. So
I think for me, I hear what you're saying. The big mind blower for me when I was with Christy Trione when she was here, we talked about digital money and transitions and those kinds of things. And it finally dawned on me that the money that I had in my purse, my coins, my purse, the gold that I had, is really the only tangible thing that I have.
Right.
Everything else, the bank account, the mortgage on the house, everything isn't real. It's not real.
Right.
It's a representation that I have an agreement with somebody that says that we have agreed that you, in theory, believe that you have, that it's not real. And I work with groups of people that are unemployed and underemployed and, you know, try to tell them that this all isn't real. That's not really fair.
Right.
But it does kind of put things into perspective. It evens the playing field out. You know, unless you carry a wad of cash around in your pocket, nobody's any worse or better off than anybody else in any given moment, because the rest of it is all just, it's just an illusion.
Exactly. And because in a lot of ways we believe it's so big and so convoluted and so complex that we kind of give up on even knowing what money is.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the key things that I, you know, that I took away from that workshop was that we are made to live in a society that is relying on debt. Most of our relationships are relationships of scarcity, are relationships of how much do I owe, who do I owe that money to, or whatever it is. It is built in that we interact with each other from a debtor and a debtee. That's a word. It's a very imbalanced kind of way of looking at it, specifically because it helps. It grows within us this mentality of scarcity, this mentality of I don't have enough. I'll never be able to cover this debt or this debt or whatever. So we're made to live in that kind of lack mentality,
mm-hmm.
of fear mentality. And we live our lives mostly in fear of tomorrow because mm-hmm. of that concept.
And we do know from a psychological perspective that fear keeps you down, that you
exactly.
can't become enlightened and you can't, it's impossible to become enlightened and to be able to go higher from a social responsibility perspective if you're engaged in fear. Our bodies are designed during times of fear, ambiguity, and stress to draw the boundaries, you know, create the rules and get very, very strict about how we see things. And I just had a conversation with a gentleman yesterday, again, that was unemployed, and we were talking about, you know, well, what about school? What about mm-hmm. writing? You want to write again? What about your artwork? And he goes, right. you know, that's all good and well. He right. goes, well, I don't even have time to think about that. I mean, people don't even have time to dream anymore because right. they're so wrapped by fear that dreams, they believe, or we might believe, cost us something.
Right, exactly.
And they don't.
they and that don't. Keeps us stuck in, yeah. in the system that keeps yeah. telling us to stay stuck.
Yeah.
You know, it's this kind of... Yeah. Catch 22 we live in. And so the part of education, which is what you're talking about, you know, when yeah. you talk to other people and you share with their experiences is critical. And the resilience circles certainly help with that. The other part is that part that, you know, that I wanted to answer your initial question was listening to each other and sharing and listening to what is your experience. Because one of the things that the resilience circles have realized is that we come to our relationship with preconceived notions of who the other person is and how wealthy they are. We make judgment calls all the time about the wealth of others and how we compare ourselves. And you find through resilience circles that person who came to the meeting with a suit and a tie, which you think was at a higher level of wealth than you, is actually living through the exact same fears and actually has the same imbalance in his life mm-hmm. and is actually not better off than you and sometimes worse off than mm-hmm. you. So part of the resilience circles is just what you were asking about. It's about listening. It's about opening our eyes and opening our hearts to each other's experiences and to see the commonality of our fear, the commonality of our... imbalance.
Human experience.
Our, yeah. yeah, the imbalance in our human experience,
yeah.
our isolation, you know, the way we feel so isolated in this process. And that sharing in the circle helps basically take apart that idea of you are isolated, you're on mm-hmm. your own, which is what society keeps telling us, you know. You're on your own in this. You have to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. No, you know, if you're in the state you're in financially, is you caused it to yourself.
It's your fault. Yeah.
It's your fault. So there is this guilt. And so the circles are a way to say, oh, my goodness, I'm not alone. The same things that society has led me to think about myself and about others is a shared idea. And the third leg of the stool is social action.
And we're going to talk more about that when we come back. We are going to go ahead and take a break. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I am speaking with Rabbi Olivier Ben-Haim with the Bet Aleph Meditative Synagogue about resilience circles. Come on back. Hello, this is Kim Ariano of Walk the Talk with Kim. The reality is staggering. South Africa has one of the highest incidences of HIV/AIDS in the world. This fact results in millions of orphans left in the care of other family members, friends, or fending for themselves in child-headed households. Focus on Itemba offers orphans and vulnerable children a new direction in life through loving foster care homes with committed parents and a real opportunity for a good education. Please consider sponsoring a child to receive the needed stability to change their world. Go to itembakids.org.
or follow the links from walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and since 1977, we at the Pearson Law Firm have guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice and restitution in insurance disputes and personal injury claims. At the Pearson Law Firm, we work hard to secure justice in civil matters with a network of resources, a wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473. That's 1-800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
You too can lose up to 30 pounds in 30 days with the My Weight Loss to Wellness Accelerated Weight Loss Program. No celebrities, no HCG, and no prepackaged food. See results in just 7 days. We use award-winning science-based nutrition and natural botanicals. Save $100 with the listener appreciation discount for Walk the Talk with Kim listeners who enroll through February 29th. For information, contact myweightlosstowellness@gmail.com. And mention Walk the Talk with Kim.
Have you heard the phrase, the beatings will continue until morale improves? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Walk the Talk for Success, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops and focused on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Walk the Talk for Success, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
Going against the grain has never been so much fun. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, and we're talking about resilient circles today. If you'd like more information on resilient circles and more information on the Bet Aleph Meditative Synagogue, or if you would love to talk with Rabbi Olivier about his experiences and what he's done, you can certainly go to the website at www.betaleph.org, and that's BETALEF.org. Again, BETALEF.org, or you can call area code 206-527-9399. Again, those office numbers are 206-527-9399. And we'll have this information on the Walk the Talk with Kim webpage, as well as the Walk the Talk with Kim Facebook page. And you can always listen to the show again if you want to catch more information or learn more about it, or certainly tune it on to your friends. We do rebroadcast the show on iTunes as well as podcast. And you can find us at Walk the Talk with Kim on iTunes so that you can download the show every week if you can't listen to it real time, or if you want to hear it again. And you can listen to it on your morning walk, whatever you decide to do.
Wonderful.
So how does somebody, in addition to that, you have an email address? Do you want to give that out if people want to email you directly with any questions?
Oh, sure. You can find me at rabbi.olivier, and I'm going to spell this out, O-L-I-V-I-E-R, at betaleph.org. So rabbi.olivier@betaleph.org.
Now, are you French?
I'm French-born. Can you hear it?
You're French-born. Yes, I can hear the accent, but you'd never assume that somebody's from. Are you from France or are you from Canada?
I'm from France.
From France?
Yes.
And how long have you been in this country?
I've been in the U.S. for 15 years, something like that.
And so why did you leave France?
Well, I left France when I was 18. I graduated from high school and I immigrated to Israel. And I lived in Israel for about 10 years. So I'm French, I'm Israeli. And I met my wife in Jerusalem, where we both of us used to live. She is from a very little known country called Minnesota. I don't know if you heard of it. And we met there in Jerusalem, and eventually she came home. And as when I was able to, I followed her here. So I always like to say that I've come to America for love.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. so sweet.
Yeah.
So French in America, I don't want to say what's the differences, because I'm sure there's so many, but what kind of struck you as you became an American and learned about the culture here that was different than what you had thought when you lived in France?
There's a lot of similarities and a lot of differences, of course. I think food is one of the differences. although you have more variety here, I miss a lot of the food that I don't get to eat too much when I'm not, you know, in France. And I rarely go back now. Mm. But when I'm able to, I know the places I like to go. So
yeah.
my parents, you know, we always go there. You know, France is a wonderful country to live in, and I lived there for many years, and I go back there, and I enjoy being there when I'm there. I think what I love about the United States is, maybe specifically in the Northwest, is how progressive I find people here are. The lifestyle is very different. It's much faster here. You know, it's no mistake that a lot of joie de vivre and laissez-faire are French words, because that's more of the mentality of the people there. You know, any Latin nation live a life that is a little bit more on the slower side. But what I find in America is the progressive ideals, the spirituality here is very, it's ahead of anywhere else in the world. In all denominations, and I think all faiths and all forms of practices. And that's a big attraction for me.
Why do you think that is? What do you think it is about Americans that make us so feverish or have fervor?
I think Americans, my experience is that Americans are forward thinkers. They are dreamers. They move towards the future with some sense of ownership, some sense of wanting to be a part of it. There is a level of excitement in watching things evolve. I think it's not a myth that Americans are entrepreneurs, and I see that in the spiritual realm as well. There is this impulse of discovery, this impulse of evolution, of evolving as a people and as spiritual beings. And it's very intense here in the U.S. I mean, it's no mistake, I think, that Buddhism became such a big part of the tapestry of America in the last 20 to 30 years because Americans love to discover new possibilities and
in
have this
old.
Yearning. What that?
New in the old.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And that, you know, Buddhism was transformed in the U.S., thanks to the American thirst for spiritual discovery and evolution. And I think all of us have benefited.
So there is hope. There is hope for
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We wouldn't be here talking if there wasn't hope.
Isn't that great?
Absolutely.
So the third leg, social responsibility.
Social action, social responsibility is the third component of the resilience circles. And again, like I said earlier, which is something that I really enjoyed being part of this group, is that it's not imposed upon you from the top. There is no top. And they give you, within the circle, the opportunity of finding out what's burning in people's hearts. And in the dialogue that evolves within the circles, people within the circle define for themselves what it is that they would like as a circle to become involved in, to become active as far as social action. So it could be as small as fixing something in your neighborhood, you know, as a start, or going down to Olympia and talking to representatives and anything in between.
Or starting a radio show.
Starting a radio show.
It could be anything, right?
Absolutely.
I think the danger, you talk of this this entrepreneurship, I think my experience, and purely from my experience and my observation, is there's almost, when someone is woken up, there's almost this, oh my gosh, I've been asleep for so long, I got to fix this. And so we do too much and then we burn out. We see a lot of that in the nonprofit world.
Right.
So I love the idea of the resilient circles, almost kind of taking that next logical step of start small, do small,
exactly.
finish small, find one thing that you can affect.
Exactly.
And let's work on it kind of together. And as opposed to, I think what happens in some cases is, for example, what happened with me is I left corporate America and I went, oh my gosh, I've got a whole new world open up to me. Right. And I went off, you know, like a rocket in a million different directions. And that's great, but I'm not sure I did one thing really, really well. I did a lot of, you know, because you're exploring. You're like a kid again, just trying all these different things and getting into trouble. And I love the idea of having that group of people together to kind of chuckle with you like they would a toddler learning how to walk,
exactly.
and, you know, but still being there to help you and to help each other actually accomplish something.
And exactly. And in the fact that, you know, on a small scale at first with a small group, you can accomplish something. I think what it does is that it empowers people. See, one of the things that this third leg helps is combat, if you'd like, or overcome this disempowerment that we are all feeling. So the third leg, by being active as a group and solving something immediate, solving something small but that resonates within your community, empowers you, gives you a sense of, I can do this. We can do this. Look at what we've done as with this little group, and now let's go maybe a little bit further, right? So the circles would continue to evolve and continue to grow, and you can tackle one issue after another from small steps at first to even maybe bigger steps later.
What a great idea! And so your group that you've started, what are you seeing? What's your experience been with this group?
We did two things with this group so far. One was the initial opening of the seven sessions, and I didn't limit the invitation to just the members of my community. It actually became very quickly somewhat of an interfaith event, what I like to call interspiritual event. The meeting itself, the first meeting, took place at Seattle First Baptist in Seattle. Mm. And so we had members of Seattle First Baptist join our group. And I also invited...
You had a Baptist organization and Jewish organization getting together to form a resilient circle.
Absolutely.
That's a Nobel Peace Prize right there. That's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
And through some other connections, we also invited a Sufi community members to join. So they were...
Even better.
They were people from the Muslim faith, Sufis, practitioners, Baptists, members, and members of Beit Aleph. So
wonderful.
So at the end of the day, that first meeting involved 40 people.
Wow.
40 people came, which was really, really wonderful. What ended up happening is that through this meeting, seeds were planted in all our three communities. So I know for a fact that in that Sufi community, a resilient circle is about to form, or is actually maybe already has formed. And I know Seattle First Baptist was also looking at creating that for their community.
That's wonderful.
You need to have at least 15, like I said, 15 to 20 people to create that group. Unfortunately, our community is very small. We just have 100 families right now. So at Beit Aleph, we were not able to have enough people to join and continue the process. But people were interested. We had, from our community, at least 20 people, 25 people were interested in the concept.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, time didn't work out. I mean, other things didn't work out in people's lives. We were not able to continue. But I know that there is a core group now in the community that anytime this becomes available, they will jump on the opportunity.
We need to take another break,
sure.
Unfortunately. But when we come back, we'll wrap this up and talk a little bit more about how people can get involved. And then you have an event coming up.
Yes.
That I definitely want to tell people about. So you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. Come back for our final segment with Rabbi Olivier Ben-Chaim and conversation about resilient circles.
All night through, honey, yes, I'll have to spend it all on you.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and at our firm, whether we're working on an automobile crash case or helping a client who's been injured by a defective product, we focus on justice. We're passionate about serving our clients. Our successful approach focuses on the right issue at the right time, with the best tools and expertise available. We focus on collaboration and cooperation. Clients support that process, and they respect our abilities to manage the legal process, to demystify it, and to explain choices and opportunities, and also their responsibilities. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's PearsonLawFirm.com. Or you can check us out at WalkTheTalkWithKim.com.
Does your organization crave new ideas? ThinkShop can help. For 16 years, ThinkShop has inspired creative thinking at Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, and nonprofits. We help you imagine new offerings, strategies, or ways of doing business. Our proven processes and engaging workshops deliver powerful results. Learn more at thinkshop.com.
Lose up to 30 pounds in 30 days and be that sexy Valentine again. We offer a rapid, effective, and safe program that transforms your health as fast as it transforms your body. Get started now and save $100 with the Listener Appreciation Discount for Walk the Talk with Kim listeners who enroll through February 29th. For information, contact myweightloss2wellness@gmail.com and mention Walk the Talk with Kim.
The search is over. You found the station that's not afraid to be different. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. We're in our final segment here. We're going to be talking a little bit more about resilient circles. We often, when we have these conversations, there's just not enough time. So if someone wants to find out more information on resilient circles, in particular, would like to join one or know information on that, you can certainly call Rabbi Olivier at 206-527-9399. Again, 206-527-9399. And again, it's resilience circles. That's what we're talking about. You could just Google that. Or if you go to Walk the Talk with Kim on our Facebook page, I've got the link there where you can find out more information. And you can also go to www.betaleph.org. I did want to give you some time because, as I had mentioned before we came on, I'm not that well-versed in the Jewish religion, but I love learning about it because it's, you know, it's the history of us. All sure. of our religions, it's just a culmination. It's a sure. history of who we are. And like I said, there are some very wise things that I've heard. They're like, you know, they might be onto something. My father-in-law always says, never knock on another man's religion because they might be right. And so it's fascinating for me as a lifelong learner and a studier of these kinds of things. But it kind of threw me that you your synagogue is a meditative synagogue. And when yes. I think of meditative, you know, instantly my head goes to, you know, Buddhism
oh, sure.
or Indian religions. Sure. And so tell the audience a little bit about what's really unique about what your synagogue does that's different.
Well, I think our synagogue comes armed with a meditative path, a path of Jewish meditation that has been around for thousands of years. It's maybe a well-kept secret, but the Kabbalah, which is the mystical aspect of Judaism, has been, we have had mystics since biblical times. And actually, some of us read the Torah, read the Bible itself from a mystical perspective and see in the Bible itself stories about individual enlightenment, spiritual awakenings. So I'm one of those rabbis who is eager to rediscover the meditations and the meditative path that has always been there in Judaism and it's been part of our tradition and specifically been revived in the last 300 years by the Eastern European Hasidic movement that created different forms of meditations built on the traditions, millennia-old traditions of the Bible and of Kabbalah through the ages. So we're just, you know, coming on the heels of an incredible story and history of Jewish meditation. And we practice meditation. I share meditation almost every day. Actually, I have a online meditation practice at 6 o'clock in the morning every day. Almost every day. And we practice meditation as part of our worship services each time we meet. So it's really integrated into what we do. And it's been there. So we're just tapping into what's always been there.
I don't know if anybody can hear it in his voice, but certainly being in your presence, you have this very calm, centered, grounded presence about you, which is, I just love that energy in the radio studio. So definitely thank you for coming. So tell us about the, you have an event coming up in May.
May 20th, Sunday, May 20th. Part of the work that I try to do is, I should talk about Bet Aleph as a community because, like I said earlier, my purpose is to transform Bet Aleph into a community-led community. And so Bet Aleph as a community is inviting a speaker from the East Coast, Rabbi Rami Shapiro, to lead a day-long workshop on recovery as an art to free us all spiritually. The path of recovery and the 12 steps has been often seen as something that is uniquely for people who have addiction problems. And he has rediscovered that path and that process as a means to help us awaken. Because all of us, in fact, if we take honest inventory of ourselves and our lives, all of us are addicted to something or another. Some of us are addicted to our anger. Some of us are addicted to our need for control. Some of us are addicted to our need for anyone but us to change. All of us have those addictions as part of our being. And he's written a wonderful book, and that's why I invited him to come to Seattle to teach us about how can we integrate this process of walking those 12 steps to liberate ourselves from that which keeps us stuck, from that which keeps us alienated from each other, that which, in fact, keeps us down into our anger and our resentments and makes us ill as individuals and also, I believe, as a society.
It enslaves us.
Exactly. If you use the Passover, which you do, of enslavement, you know, the Passover story is a story of enslavement and moving out of Egypt, moving out of out of places of stuckness and into freedom, then exactly that. That's exactly what that does.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at the 12 steps as a path of liberation from what constricts us, from what limits us, from what alienates us.
So most people have heard of 12 steps, but they don't really know what they are because unless you are an alcoholic or something like that, you don't really know what those are. But a lot of the 12 steps have to do with balance and acceptance and forgiveness and
honesty,
all of those kinds of things. Yeah.
Self-honesty. Forgiveness, for sure. Forgiveness of self, which is the most difficult part of it, and then forgiveness of others. So all of those are part of this process. And I strongly believe that everybody can benefit from those. And we couch it in a spiritual term. So I'm someone who works in an interfaith context. So we are certain to avoid any religious connotations, it's not about preaching anything or another. It's actually, I'm reading different books about the 12 steps right now that are approaching it from not just the Jewish perspective, but from the Buddhist perspective. I have several books on my desk right now that are basically named 12 steps from the Buddhist perspective. And so there are different perspectives to looking into how the 12 steps are a process of personal liberation.
That sounds fascinating.
Yeah,
I'm interested. So, how does somebody get involved in
so
that?
So we're in the last stages.
And you don't have to be Jewish to go.
You don't.
Right.
It's open to anybody. If you're not in recovery, come. If you are in recovery, come. If you're a professional that deals with people in recovery, come.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We are in the final stages of creating our marketing.
Okay.
So you'll see it on our website within the next few days.
And you need to let, when you come back and tell us more about it, and then you need to let us know so we can let our Walk the Talk listeners know about it. But if they want to know in the meantime, they can go to your website.
Yeah, you can. They can go to our website, call us, and we'll let them know about some of the details around this.
It was an honor and a pleasure. Thank you for coming today.
Same here. Thank you so much.
Appreciated it. Well, thank you so much for listening today. Again, we want to thank Pearson Law Firm, where you can expect expert representation and a kind, compassionate attitude. That is the Pearson Promise. I'm so impressed with them. They the show could not be impossible without a couple of lawyers. And no, you know, that actually came out of my mouth, yes. But they are absolutely the kindest, most wonderful human beings you can ever imagine. They've got hearts of gold. So if you need law representation, we do ask that you contact Pearson Law Firm. They're an excellent, excellent organization. You can get this information again on walkthetalkwithkim.com, where you can download shows that we've had in the past or look at what we're going to have in the future. And again, don't forget, I'll have information on my workshop coming up on suspension of attention, March 29th at 5:30 in Issaquah. You can get more information on info@workforceevolution.com, and we'll have all that information on our Facebook page. Thank you for listening. Please take a moment to reflect on your own life and what you can do to make the world around you better, and go out there and have a beautiful day. Beautiful.